Hello, welcome back to the Coach Enya Below the Bar podcast. The typical clearing me throat at the start of every podcast. So this week's episode, I'll obviously talk a bit about my photo shoot prep. And then I want to talk about alcohol. So, you know, the benefits that I've noticed from giving up alcohol. I haven't given it up for as long as I have now. Like beforehand, it probably was maybe only like 8 weeks or so, but like I'm off at like almost 14 weeks now. And yeah, the benefits are just, well, we'll get to that now in a minute. But photo shoot prep, like still doing photo shoot prep, like it's not going to be up till the 16th of May. and like I think this week has been a bit, it's more of like a mental battle. Like you're not really feeling hungry, and you know, obviously if it's poor planning, like if you're really, really busy and you're leaving it till, you know, 7 o'clock for you to do your steps, your cardio and your workout, you are going to be absolutely demolished. Like you're going to fall into bed and you don't need making a habit of things like that. You know, and think about the food that you've eaten all that day. Like you're going to end up burning off a lot of that. You're going to burn off a lot of it no matter what time you're doing your workouts or your steps. But like you are going to feel very fatigued after training for like 3 hours when you usually should be only doing it for about one. So you don't want things happening like that. So, you know, some days like I'll be busier than others, and you know, sometimes things do catch up on you. Like sometimes I have to get my steps and my cardio done around the same time because whatever way the day worked out. But I'm practicing getting up earlier now. Like, you know, I'm disciplining a lot of other areas of my life, but like getting up earlier is going to get me back a few hours. And it just means that I don't have to do things as late. So yeah, this week, you know, with foods being lowered from last week, my high carb day has been taken away. That's basically a day with an extra 900 calories just to give you that extra kick up the hole with energy. It's like topping up your car with diesel, you know, if you were to drive from Dublin to Galway, it's like topping up on that loan. And it just makes sure that you have that extra bit of energy then for the days that follow. And yeah, it's great because you'd be able to have your protein bar, your cappuccino, you know, extra oats, extra pasta. It was great, but that's gone now. And that probably won't come back till like maybe near the end of it. So yeah, it's just a straight baseline calorie deficit now. So yeah, it's been tough. And what I have noticed as well is I'm not hungry, but every time I have a meal, I'm thinking about my next one. Like I can already feel this is going to be tougher than the last photo shoot I did. Like the last one kind of feels like a walk in the park, to be honest. This one, I know. I mean, we started a 7th week, and I did a 9 week one last time. I mean, I'd be nearly finished and all if this was the other photo shoot. And I feel like he went easy on me last time, whereas now, like, we're only starting to walk into the forests, you know, and it's gonna get dark. but again, as long as you're fueling properly and you're taking in enough protein, because basically your calories are made up of your macros, okay? So a TD calculator gives you your calories and then you can do what you please with them, okay? So, you know, beforehand, if I was given X amount of calories, I just eat shit and I wouldn't even think about protein. And that's why I'd always be hungry and I'd always be snacking and I end up binging because I wasn't fueling myself properly. Whereas now it's like, okay, before, even with a client, before I give them any carbohydrates or fats, this is your protein goal. That's most important because that's going to conserve your muscle and it's going to keep you full. Protein does keep you full in between meals. So like I have a high protein diet at the moment, okay? And that is my saving grace because I understand nutrition now. And I know every meal I need to be having about 30 to 40 grams of protein. And then because 130 grams is my goal right now. And you know, there's very little room for protein snacks. So I have to like get the bulk of my protein in with meals. And then carbs come after and then fats. So yeah, I'm on a high protein diet at the moment. I would class it as low carb, but that's a separate episode in itself. That's maybe something I will do next week. Like you don't need carbs. Like for example, low carb diets aren't sustainable long term. They're good for the short term, okay? But you couldn't live like that for the rest of your life. Like you need to have carbohydrates, and I do still have them every day. I have them with every meal, but there's some people out there that cut them out completely, and it's only a short term solution. It's not a long term solution, okay? But what carbs do is the lower your carb intake, you know, the less water you're going to be holding. So you are going to look a little bit leaner. And then you are on obviously lower calories because we're trying to like get rid of the body fat and any excess body fat. Like I know I'm not carrying a lot of body fat, but like, let's be honest, like, you know, there's still a couple of inches there that we need to remove to reveal the muscle. So, you know, keeping a high protein, lower carb is going to obviously help me conserve my muscle, because if not, if I wasn't eating enough protein, what would happen is my body would start breaking down my muscle. and using it for energy, because it's like, I've born through everything here, like I've nothing else to use. So yeah, high protein diets for the win, to be honest. Anything else after that, sometimes I just say to my clients, here's your calorie deficit, here's your protein goal. Any other calories after you reach your protein goal can be spent on, you know, your carb sources and your fats. I'm not gonna, you know, be too technical with your carb goal and your fat goal. Just make sure you hit your protein goal. So yeah, I'm on 130 grams of protein, 120 grams of carbs. And to be honest, like, you can actually fit in a lot of carbs for that, to be honest. Enough to keep you filled and enough to keep you going. But there's people out there that cut it down to like 30 or 40 grams. And it's like, that's two slices of bread a day. Like that's ridiculous. You don't need to be doing that. And you drive yourself insane and you'd have no energy. Like, you need to be getting your energy from somewhere. Obviously I'm getting some of it from caffeine as well, but like, carbs are your primary energy source. And if I hadn't got that, I wouldn't be able to push anything in the gym. So, you know, fat is another source, dietary fat is another source of energy, but it's not the primary source of energy. And protein isn't an energy source. Okay. It's a muscle build and repair type source, okay, and it keeps you full as well. But your carbs and your fats are your energy source. Fats come second. Fats also help with digestion and stuff, and hormone regulation helps your body, what would be the word for it, helps your body dissolve certain vitamins. Is that the correct, that the body can't dissolve by itself? So that's where dietary fat comes in and helps. So for example, I never used to kind of have an idea of what type of fats to be eating, because, you know, let's be honest, fats don't get enough attention. They don't. It's all about protein and carbs, and fats are like the nerds in school, you know, and protein and carbohydrates are the popular people. But like, I have Meriden peanut butter with my oats every morning, and then I might even have two squares of dark chocolate in the evening, 85% dark chocolate from the Lindt brand. They sell them in most supermarkets. They're really, really high in fat, but good fat. And, you know, I'd have about 30 to 40 grams of fat a day. Now, there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. There's only 4 calories in 1 gram of protein and 4 calories in 1 gram of... There's 4 calories in 1 gram of protein and 1 gram of carbs, and there's 9 calories in 1 gram of fat. So things that are very, very high in fat are obviously going to be very high in calories. So for example, like 10 grams of Meriden peanut butter is 60 calories. And that's why when you see people at parties and they're horsing the peanuts into them, they might look small and, you know, you think there's nothing in them because they're tiny, but they are so dense in calories. Like, but we need nuts. We need them in small amounts, okay, because they carry good sources of fat. But we don't need them in copious amounts. So yeah, that's just word of warning there. If you're sitting at a party or wherever and there's a bag of peanuts put in front of you, just kind of, you know, look on the back. You'll be frightened. You'll actually be frightened. And then a square of that dark chocolate that I do eat as well. Sometimes I melt it. It melts into my ready breakfast and it's really nice. If I feel like I'm eating like a chocolate muffin. And like I use them frozen berries and like they melt into it as well. And one square of that is about 56 calories, so I usually have about 2. But like, again, good sources of fat. And then your carbs, you know, obviously oats, pasta, bread, cereals, etc., potatoes. And then your proteins, your chicken, your lean mince, you know, your fish, your turkey. I think turkey meat can be a bit high in fat as well. But yeah, that's pretty much it. That's the macros covered. But that's what I'm eating currently for my photo shoot prep. So anyway, on to this week's podcast. So the things I've noticed since I gave up alcohol, 5 positive things, how my life has been impacted since I gave it up. So I obviously gave it up before I decided to do a photo shoot prep, like it was sometime in November. And I just felt like my relationship with alcohol was changing as opposed to years ago. I didn't give a shit. If I was stuck to the bed for days on end, I felt like I didn't have any responsibility. I didn't... Not that I had anything to live for, but I didn't really feel like I had a purpose, do you know what I mean? I feel like I could go out, get pissed and just die in bed the next day with no consequences. And it was starting to affect my mental health, because now all of a sudden I do have a lot of responsibility. Like, I work for myself. No one else is going to do the work for me. You know, I'm like knee deep in the gym like these past few years. And I just felt like I was beating myself up a lot after nights out, and it wasn't good. It was getting very repetitive, like, and I didn't like how I was feeling, and I wasn't aligning with the person I wanted to be. And like, I'm getting to the age now as well where I used to build my life around going out on the weekends, and now I'm so antisocial now. And sometimes when, you know, you have a public platform, it can be very draining when you go out because people are pulling you and are trying to have conversations with you and you're like, I'm just here with my friend. I just, you know, I want to sit in a corner by with me and my friend and just have a drink and, you know, make pretend the world doesn't exist outside. Like, I'm not a very social person, you know, the last few years, like, my social battery is atrocious. Like, I was kind of like that in primary school and then I kind of came out of my shell in secondary school. I wasn't drinking, obviously. But my social battery is atrocious lately. I do prefer being by myself. And I think that has a lot to do with age as well. Like, let's be honest, I'm 31. I'm not going to be wanting to go to nightclubs every weekend. But I do prefer my own company or, you know, just the company of one other person. A nice, relaxed environment, you know, and even curled up in bed watching TikTok or Netflix. And with age, I realise it's the endorphins. The endorphins that came from drinking actually came from getting ready for the night out. Because after a few drinks, you're like, oh, this hangover is going to be bad tomorrow. And you're in the midst of it and you're having a buzz. You know, there's obviously all these false endorphins getting pumped into your brain and you're on the buzz of life. And then it hits you like a ton of bricks down when you're sitting in the taxi going home or you wake up the next day. Yeah, so I found that's where I used to get my buzz from. And now I don't get that buzz anymore. I suppose I'm not blind. Like the drinking culture in this country is off the charts. And I'm not blind to that anymore. Whereas I used to be in the midst of it years ago. You know, I used to be, I wouldn't say a party animal, but like I was always the force to want to go out and I would build my life around going out on the weekends. But instead of FOMO now, like fear of missing out, I just think it's not worth it. I think, Enya, like, you know exactly how this night is going to go if you go out. Like, either don't drink or just miss out on an average night out. That's it. That's my options. I've been in a few situations where I could have easily had a drink and said, fuck it. But the devil and angel on my shoulder, and the angel is so much louder now. All right, when it used to be the devil. I'll just go out, just have a few drinks. Oh, you're sitting in again on the weekend. I would feel like I didn't achieve anything if I didn't go out on the weekend. That's the way my life would be. And I'd think it was such a waste working all week not to go out on the weekend. And I'd be kicking myself come Sunday. But now I'm just like, Enya, it's just going to be a bang average night. Don't waste half of tomorrow to sit here among the same faces, same music, same environment. Okay. So what is the fourth benefit I noticed? So productivity. So I've gotten a lot more done. I do a lot more with me free time now. Things aren't put on the long finger. So the gym isn't being put on the long finger. And again, that's another reason. I used to beat myself up a lot. I'd be checking in with my coach, you know, and me fat loss would be, me fat loss progress would be a lot slower. Some weeks because I was out on the drink, and sometimes I wouldn't put that in my check-in sheet. And I like, what are you doing? And you like, do you know what I mean? This was going back at the start, and he actually called me out on it, and I actually respect him for it because he's like, Enya, yeah, we've been in this calorie deficit now for six weeks, and nothing's changing. What's going on here, buddy? And like, you know, he's really good at his job, so he knew he wasn't the issue. So I just kind of had to like nip that in the bud and be like, right, he has a point. But I would always skip the gym if I went out on a Saturday night, and I just get my steps in and, you know, just go on my walk. And even that was a struggle sometimes. Oh, you know, if I didn't get the gym, I still went on my walk. But it's not the point. It's like, look at you sacrificing a workout, something that actually does give you real endorphins and actually will benefit your health. You're sacrificing that because you went on the piss last night and you haven't got the energy now to commit to your workout and be consistent. Or if I said, okay, Sunday, I'm going to record 3 videos and I'm going to have them set then to put out then during the week, so I don't have to do it then during the week when I have loads of other things on. And I know I'm out Saturday, but Sunday's the only day I have all week to record, so I'm going to do a Sunday. Even though I know I'm going to be going out Saturday, and I make this false promise to myself, ah, I'll be fine. And you wake up Sunday and you're like, ah, you know what? I'll find an hour on Monday to fit it in. And Monday comes and you forget about the 10 other things you have to do, and suddenly it's Thursday by the time you're doing it, and you feel like you already have to fall behind again, and you're beating yourself up again. When you are in control of your behavior, like, no one forced me to go out the weekend. That was me. That was my weakness. But now I feel like I have an extra 2 days in my week. I feel like I'm getting time back to spend doing things that actually do give me endorphins, like healthy endorphins. I actually hear James Gordon say, James Corden, the presenter from the UK, is probably all known. He was on that Jay Shetty podcast. It was actually a really, really good podcast. He has a way of like phrasing things. He's very philosophical, I have to say, but I learned a great few points from it. He said, he basically said, you're borrowing time. He was talking about alcohol. You're borrowing hours from tomorrow where you render yourself useless. And I've experienced that so many times. And this last year, my coaching business, you know, and my other career has excelled. I'm responsible for my income. Although I've the luxury of deciding my own days off or holidays, that doesn't mean I should abuse that. If I put something on the long finger because I want to go out and get pissed, I'm sitting at the laptop the next day, hungover, in the horrors, and I have about 10% focus when I need 100%. And all that work catches up on you. And it's the element of guilt that people are relying on me to help them, you know, what way could I phrase it? Like, people are relying on me and you're sitting there hungover, and, you know, I'm sure, like, we're all entitled to have a bit of fun. We are. But, you know, I'm sitting there in the horrors and I'm giving people lectures on nutrition and exercise and, you know, being stuck to the bed, and I need to practice what I preach. Again, I'm entitled to go and have a drink and have a good time, but I need to practice what I preach. And, you know, everyone is entitled to go out, have a good time, make memories, but there comes a time where you have to start taking accountability. And it just means that I'm just going to pick my battles wisely in future. And how I look at alcohol has completely changed. And this is going to come up a few times in this podcast, but you never see a successful businessman or woman binge drinking on the weekends. You know, so I don't mind going on holiday where I've nothing on for the foreseeable for 7 days and letting loose and, you know, having a few good nights out. But I just feel now when I'm at home, my business brain is turned on and the nights out just don't appeal to me anymore. In my early 20s, I didn't care if I was stuck to the bed for the day. I had no responsibilities, no goals. I could afford to do it. I could afford to waste time. Now I feel like I have a lot more responsibility. It's a similar feeling to a parent saying nights out aren't worth it anymore when you have young kids because you have to deal with them the next day with a hangover. And that's how I feel now. And I've worked so hard on my body as well. And I've a great string of clients that I dedicate my time to. And over lockdown, I put on about 10 pounds from drinking because there was nothing else to do. I had no responsibilities. I think everybody kind of picked up drinking, either drinking or running, and I wasn't a runner. Any excuse to buy a few bottles and sit at home 2 to 3 nights a week because you had nothing to be up for. I know a lot of people were in the same boat as me. So to sum up, sometimes I actually forget that it's the weekend. Like, in the last 3 months, I actually forget that it's the weekend sometimes. Like, oh, Jesus, it's Friday. When I used to be counting down the days until it was Friday. And I just feel like now that I have a purpose, I have responsibilities, like, the weekend isn't the most important thing on my schedule anymore. Since I've taken a break from it, I realised that about the weekend and alcohol. Which leads me on to my next point. Number two, I slowly grew out of building my life around the weekend, and then giving up alcohol just intensified that. I'd feel if I didn't go out, the whole week was a waste. I know I mentioned that earlier. And, you know, I worked so hard. Well, this is when I used to work in an office or in retail. I worked so hard for nothing and I didn't achieve anything. But now I get the feeling of achievement by waking up on a Sunday fresh and being able to walk to my local coffee shop. That's where my endorphins come from now. And I'm not stuck to a bed, you know, with the fear. And I don't think anything is worth that anymore. I really don't. Like, again, I used to get FOMO and I used to get fear of missing out. And the last year or so, I look at people when I'm on Instagram, I'm on their stories, and I'm like, wow, I could not imagine anything worse than being out right now. Like, thank God I'm not out and I get to wake up fresh tomorrow. Now I feel, I forget there's another word for it. It's not fear of missing out, but it's like something like the fear of going out or something like that. I think that's with age though. Like, never mind giving it up. I think that comes with age, so the appeal of a night out. But I do know, like, people with kids and stuff like that, they do appreciate a night out every now and then because it's few and far between. And I think that will be me. But again, I will choose my battles wisely. I won't just be going out for the sake of going out to get pissed. And I know that having a coach that I check in with every week, and, you know, my career, it keeps me grounded, and I feel like I have a purpose. And show me an extremely successful businesswoman or man who binge drinks in the local every weekend, you won't be able to name one. And that's just how I feel now. I just want that feeling of achievement from other things rather than, you know, oh, Enya downed 3 Jager bombs last night. Like, that was me in my early 20s. Like, it's funny how things change over the years. Like, it definitely is maturity. Never mind my career, but, like, it does come with age. I think, you know, you start looking at alcohol and the weekend a whole lot differently. Number three, fat loss. It's not a secret that cutting out alcohol while in a calorie deficit really excels your results. Actually, you know what? Even if you weren't in a calorie deficit, you'd be cutting out a lot of calories if you just stopped drinking alcohol, and you'd probably lose body fat from that alone. Especially, you know, if you're a big cider drinker, a big beer drinker, what else? What else would be behind? Like, if you drank a lot of cocktails in the weekend, like, you know, you could be consuming 1,000 to 1,500 calories worth of alcohol on a weekly basis if you were going out Friday and Saturday and, like, you binge drinked. So you could lose body fat from that alone. So, you know, that's obviously been a benefit too. Like, liquid calories, they all add up. They really do. And that's why some men have beer bellies, because, you know, they're knocking back the beer and the cider, and they just, those calories have to go somewhere, especially if you're a sedentary person and you're not moving a lot and you're putting all that into your body. Not only is it a poison, but it's just zero nutrition. Like, even during my last deficit, even though I cut down on nights out, I went on two holidays where I essentially pressed pause on my diet. And I also went to a few outdoor concerts, even though I always stuck to low calorie drinks and made sure I didn't schedule a gym the next day because I'm just making life harder for myself. And sometimes I did, whatever way my week worked out, sometimes I would have to go to the gym the next day. And sometimes it did happen, and it made me realize even more, it's just not worth it. And I would have lost even more body fat if I had just cut it out completely. Absolutely. Like, no doubt about it. When you drink, your body sees alcohol as a toxin. Okay, so when you're in the gym burning calories on a Sunday, your body's like, yeah, I'm burning all these alcohol calories first before I even touch fat, because your body sees it as a poison and it wants to get rid of it ASAP. So again, it does slow down fat loss if you're doing it consistently every weekend and you're in a calorie deficit. Okay, number four, my mental health, probably the biggest reason why I cut it out. So again, before photo shoot prep, I just realized I was beating myself up a lot. Like, I'd be so hard on myself after a night out. I would beat myself up something terrible, and the fear and anxiety would haunt me for days sometimes. When you're drunk and you have a platform on social media, okay, and you're out, it can be a dangerous combo, because all it takes for one person who follows you to see you carry on stupid, and then that starts the Chinese whispers. Oh, I seen her out. She was in bits. She was in an awful way. She was making a show of herself. And look, they probably weren't even thinking that, but that's the way you think when you are in that position. She can't handle her drink or whatever, or she was like really rude or whatever. Not that I ever have been. And, you know, all it takes for someone to record me acting the fool, and, you know, it can ruin your reputation, especially when you're a coach as well. Like, especially since I've become a coach, I've been way more conscious of what I post on social media, because I don't want to be sending out mixed messages. You know, I don't want to be posting videos of me doing workouts on my coaching stories, and then you go onto my Giz a Laugh page and I'm necking Jager bombs the same night. Like, it's, you can't be sending mixed messages. But again, obviously my Giz a Laugh page, you're going to see me be a little bit looser and have a bit more crack, even when I'm not on a night out. I remember before I even started my coaching page, I used to go out midweek actually with my friend who was also self-employed, and I wouldn't put up stories. I would put up stories on my socials. I'd always be like documenting my night out and all, because I thought it was cool, and I was doing it regularly. I was going to the same place regularly all the time. You know, I was in my prime. I was making money, and, you know, I was just going out to have a good time again. Wasn't even interested in coaching at this stage. And someone replied one day to the story and said, "Jesus, you're always out, aren't you?" And I then realized how it looked. And sometimes people are just trying to be nasty, but this hit different because it was the truth. I was out drinking a lot. And nobody's perfect. We all deserve to have a good time. But when you're in the public eye, your paranoia increases on night two. And the day after you've been on the drink, that intensifies that paranoia. You're like, what did I do? What did I say? And again, the element of guilt, do you let yourself down? Or this is not how someone in your position should be behaving. And I'm right, because there's having fun and then there's being careless or reckless. Again, show me a successful businesswoman or man who binge drinks every weekend. Because when I went out, it wasn't just one drink, it was none or 10. And I slowly have come to the realization that moderation is not my strong suit in that department. I never drink in the house or midweek, and I haven't done it in years. Actually, a few years I haven't drank, like, gone out midweek, like, because I just have so much on. And to be honest, I'd rather be fresh for the gym. That's my priority now. It's not going out and getting pissed. But then I went out when I went out on a Friday or Saturday, it was go hard or go home. Like, I was always the intention of getting drunk. And my friend made a good point to me. You know, I went on a walk with him one Sunday. He asked me, "Oh, you were out last night. How many drinks did you have?" And I said, and I counted, I goes, "I think about 9 or 10. He said, "Jesus, Anya, 9 drinks. And if you think about it, if someone told me they drank 9 cans of Diet Coke in a row, I'd be like, is there something wrong with you? It's only when someone says it back to you, you're like, Jesus, that is binge drinking. 2 to 3 is moderate for me. And I love going out with people who can just have 2 or 3 and go home. And I'm like, yes, I'll go home as well. But when you, sometimes it's the people that you surround yourself as well, that you surround yourself with, they can be a bad influence on you. And like, I learned that years ago. going back a few years ago before I got into coaching as well, I started kind of spotting that. And again, after the fourth drink, all care goes out the window and sense of responsibility. And I don't like when I'm like that, because my ability to make sensible decisions is weakened big time when I have alcohol on me. And I'm sure it can be said for everyone. I've often had actually my boyfriend say to me the next day, say we're on a night out, he goes, Enya, you done this or you said this. And he wouldn't be giving out to me. He'd actually be looking out for me. And he'd say, look, I know you have a platform. And that's why he would be pulling me up on it. And he's reminding me to not be reckless or careless. And the fact that I wouldn't be able to remember it was a concern as well. Like, he'd have to remind me of what I'd done. I would have completely blacked out. You know, so sometimes I had to say to myself, like, what would I be capable of if someone wasn't there to help me, or if I wasn't in my senses, like if something could have happened to me? You know, it's that's when you kind of have to start thinking, like, right, and you need to nip the drink in the bud for a while. I don't want to ever find out like what would happen if I was still drinking the way I was going back a couple of years ago. Thankfully now it's lessened a lot, but I would still beat myself up even if I hadn't drank in like 3 weeks or 4 weeks. I just used to wake up with that impending sense of doom. But I do have a certain standard to live up to, whether I like it or not, when I'm out on a night out. And I'm just a wimp with hangovers. I can't hack them anymore. And I've noticed I've started getting sick more frequently compared to a few years ago. I used to have an iron stomach. And, you know, I'm the most dramatic person ever. I just want to hide in bed all day. And sometimes I look at my boyfriend, and I'm like, oh my God, how are you up and walking around? And he says to me, I just get up and get on with it. And that's when I realise I'm not able to just get up and get on with it. I don't like who I am when I'm hungover. And I have the decision. The decision is in my hands whether I put myself through that or not, because no one forces me to go through it. I pick up the drink at the start of the night and I decide how many I'm going to have. And that's my fault, you know. So number five, my health. Whenever I wake up after a night out, my face is so swollen and bloated looking. It's like the consequences of my actions are coming to the surface on my face. It looks like I've been stung by a bee and I hate it. Anytime I'm away, I'd wake up after a night out mixing drinks and look horrible to the point that no makeup can disguise it. I used to even say to my boyfriend, how are you attracted to this? And I feel since I've given it up, I have a glow about me now. My energy is better. My immune system is stronger. My skin, my complexion, everything has improved. And since I started eating proper nutrition like these last couple of years, when you're doing that for months without alcohol in the mix and you start knocking back shots and beer all of a sudden, it wreaks havoc on your stomach. And you're like, Jesus, my stomach like this all these years and I just haven't realized it until I cut it out. It really does wreak havoc on your digestive system. Like, my boyfriend can't even drink cider anymore. Like, he has horrible heartburn. It's just ripped the stomach out of him. Again, it's a poison. Like, it's actually a poison. You take for granted how at peace your stomach was before. And yeah, it just makes you appreciate your body when it is in working order. So overall, cutting it out completely for over 90 days, and we'll continue to do so for another 90 days, because my photo shoot prep is in May, it's made me realise I'm growing out a person I used to be. My relationship with it has completely changed. Years ago, I would think I'm cool and I'm using it as an escape from jobs I didn't like or the escape from the lifestyle that I had. Probably thought my lifestyle was pretty boring and, you know, the only entertaining thing that I had to look forward to was the weekend. And drinking like that today doesn't align with who I want to be. I can't live that lifestyle and expect to have financial freedom one day. Again, I probably will drink again, but I'll be choosing my battles wisely. Like, going out every weekend to have a bang average night only to ruin half the next day just doesn't appeal to me anymore. It really doesn't. I couldn't imagine anything worse. I'm turning into a granny. I'd rather curl up in bed on a Saturday again with Netflix or a takeaway and watch my favourite box set, scroll TikTok. Alcohol just doesn't have the same place in my life as it used to. And it's funny, I look at other people around me who still drink every weekend, but it doesn't affect them like it affects me. Like, they work 9 to 5 all week and that's probably their way to let off some steam. And I'm not judging, but I know they're probably mentally stronger than I am the next day. And that's what sets us apart. They can just get up and get on with it. And I'm not just talking about my other half, I'm talking about everyone in general. It's the same way how I became disciplined with nutrition. I started wanting long-term gratification compared to short-term gratification. So, you know, I wanted the body of my dreams and I wanted to be fit and healthy more than I wanted a sheer size bag of Maltesers every night. It came to that point. And now I'm just like, I'd rather sit in on the weekend than go out and just waste money to feel shit the next day. now I'm turning nights out down because I know I'll get loads of work done Sunday that will excel my career down the line. That's just where my priorities are. And look, I'm not judging people who drink. Like I said, there's some people who can go out every weekend and just get up and get on it. But that's not me anymore when it used to be, you know. It's just I feel like I've way more priorities now. Just drink used to be my number one priority, like going out, getting pissed, having a great time with my friends. And I just think I've lived that era now. And I'm coming into a new era now where like other things are more of a priority to me. And I actually just appreciate feeling fresh. When you go for weeks without it, after going for weeks on it, it really does highlight how much your body benefits from the lack of alcohol. And again, I'm not saying I'm not going to drink again. Like I'm not going to put that off the table, you know. But what I will say is when I go away on holiday and I can switch off, I will be able to enjoy drinking more compared to being at home and knowing that I have to get up for work. Say I go on a Saturday night, I know that, well, you know, I was planning, because you can't switch off when you work for yourself. You don't switch off. Like, you're still working Saturday and Sunday in some shape or way, whether it's replying to emails or getting things ready for, you know, the following week. And again, when you're hungover, that just gets put on the back burner. So I just feel I would rather have my full senses, my full focus, rather than be groggy and foggy and negative and again beat myself up. So I think I did it for myself. I didn't do it to prove a point to anyone else. I did it for myself. And yeah, I just think now it will be few and far between that I do go out. Special occasions and holidays, I think, are just for me at the moment. But yeah, going out and just having a regular night out just doesn't appeal to me anymore. But yeah, that's pretty much it. That sums it up. And I don't know whether anyone else has given it up and they agree with the points that I've made, or someone might have given it up for completely different reasons. You know, I wouldn't say I had a drink problem. I would just say that I was a binge drinker and it wasn't doing me any favours as my career started to excel. So that's when I knew I had to cut it out. So that pretty much sums it up. And yeah, if you have any questions about the podcast, I will always be able to be reached on Instagram and any of my training services, etc. Don't hesitate to reach out. But until the next one, thanks for listening.